This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
Welcome. This is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast show with Andrea Nels. Our community is made up of so many amazing and diverse groups of people, as are the programs on Joy 94.9. There is something there for everyone. A Little Pot of Joy is where we highlight some of these amazing programs.
We would like to show our respect and acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, of elders past and present of the Kulin Nation, whose land we are broadcasting from. And we are opening the evening with a podcast from Spirit Lounge, Halloween.
Holy days of the week are Halloween, All Saints Day, and All Souls. Rachel and Claudine discuss the cultural context, histories, and ceremonies through to the modern day adaptations.
And if you just can't listen to the show live, podcasts are available for download from the Joy website, joy.org.au/spirit lounge.
This is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
Good evening, faithful listeners, and you're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with Rachel and Claudine.
Now, this week's set of Christian holy days is all about remembering and celebrating the dead. We've got Halloween coming on Saturday, the 31st of October, All Saints Day on the 1st of November, and All Souls Day on the 2nd.
Ooh.
I haven't found the spooky sound effects.
So. That's okay. I'm very good at the sound effects.
Okay, you can throw them in whenever you feel like
Excellent.
It. Excellent. And you've probably heard of Halloween, but that's actually just the night before All Saints Day. So if you stretch it out, Halloween or All Hallows Eve, that's the day before All Saints or All Hallows Day. That's my language, bit of language nerdery for the night. And as in some other religions, such as Judaism, major feast days like All Saints are celebrated starting from the evening before. So people have started observing the eve of All Souls.
And it's usually the reason why they celebrate the night before is the next day is the important day. So it's like, it's just like the pre-party hype up.
It is. It's like Christmas Eve, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Some people open presents the night before.
That never happened in my childhood.
Yeah, no, me either.
So like many of the major Christian festivals, All Saints and All Souls may have originated in older non-Christian traditions that Christians adopted because they celebrated similar concepts, and that's, you know, the Christian missionaries went to a new country or they picked it up from some of their neighbours and thought, that sounds good, we'll do that and adapt it to Christian ideas. One of the possible precedents for All Saints is the ancient Roman festival Lemuria, which involved exorcising the evil spirits of the dead. Another is the Celtic Samhain, a harvest festival that takes place at this time of year. And this is seen as a time when the boundaries between the spiritual other world and our world are easily crossed, and when the souls of the dead return to visit their homes and families.
I watched a funky video that was giving the history of the All Souls Day, and it said the reason why the people from what's the word? The dead people who are under the ground.
The underworld.
The reason why they can get to the earth is because in obviously the northern hemisphere, it's going into winter, and so all the plants are dying, so there's no blossoms that are holding them down, so they can come out through the dead earth and make their way into not the underworld.
Yeah, there's fewer layers to fight through, I guess.
Yes. Fun fact.
There's so much in the sort of history of all these festivals, so it's really quite interesting to explore them. So for Christians, All Saints Day is like a general catch-all for individual Saints Days. major saints or holy people have their own feast days, and these are usually celebrated on the anniversary of the saint's martyrdom or death. And All Saints Day is like it's for all the other saints who don't get their own day. So it's an all-inclusive.
We remember you too, guys.
It's an all-inclusive saints feast day. And then some of us also celebrate All Souls Day, and that celebrates all of the faithful dead. So even if you're not the holiest of holy role models, you still get remembered on the 1st or 2nd of November, if that's your tradition.
Yeah.
So many modern Christians, if they do celebrate these days at all, it's not as useful to distinguish between All Saints and All Souls. I think there's been some linking of All Souls with in the past with purgatory. So there's an idea that the saints have gone to heaven, and then there's all these other people who are kind of in the waiting room. They're not quite there yet, so people would pray for the souls so that maybe they would get to heaven. I'm not sure how many people believe this nowadays, so we often find in modern practice that All Saints and All Souls are celebrated together.
It would be interesting to hear if people still believe that there is like a middle platform between heaven and earth.
I'm not even sure. I can't even remember if it's still official for the Roman Catholic Church. But, I mean, it's a bit hard to explain what purgatory really means, but
it's like you get stuck somewhere on the staircase between here and there. That's what it is in my mind.
You're on pee plates or something.
Yeah.
So All Saints and All Souls are a major feast for Catholics and for some Protestants, but of course not all Christians observe them. For me as an Anglican, some of the things that we do in my church are for All Saints, we read the Litany of the Saints. Now, this is a long prayer where we ask many saints, which we name individually, to pray for us. And it's the church has been going for about 2,000 years, so the modern litany feels like it's got hundreds of names. So it probably doesn't actually have hundreds of names. It just takes a long time to read through the list.
Wow.
So some churches will use a shorter version, or they'll add their own names.
So how did All Saints and All Souls Day become like commercialized?
Well, commercial. There's a couple of things. There's becoming popular culture, and then if it becomes popular culture, somebody's going to commercialize it.
So basically, how did Halloween become people dressing up, going and trick or treating?
I haven't found the actual link to it, but I think it's like, there's a general, I mean, for Christians who think about remembering the dead, and this is something we see in other spiritual traditions.
Yeah.
We've got this concept of the saints or of the faithful people who have gone before us. But for people who aren't who aren't Christian, they've taken some of that idea. So they've got whether it's the dead or other sort of spooky or supernatural things. So Halloween's become this festival not just of the dead, but of, I guess, ghosts and zombies who are sort of dead in a fictional sense. The undead and other kind of, it's a way of having that kind of thin boundary with the other world. So it's when witches and ghosts and vampires all kind of break into everyday life.
Yeah.
So,
story behind the trick or treating? So you told me this before, and it was fascinating.
This was something that I found, that there's a theory that trick or treating might have originated in Europe, where they have soul cakes, which are cakes that people hand out and as they visit houses and ask for prayers for the dead, and then they exchange cakes. I mean, any excuse to have a cake.
I'll pray for you if you give me some cake.
I'm
down for that. Yeah, I'll do it now.
It's another feast. I mean, a feast day is you go to church and then you eat cake or other cool stuff. So
yeah.
This
so
is
maybe
an extension
it shouldn't
of
be
it.
Trick or treat. It should be pray for treat.
Pray for treat.
Knock,
here's
knock, knock. Pray for treat. I'm going to try that. I'll see if anyone likes it.
So people sometimes say, you know, why have we got trick-or-treating in Australia? It's not an Australian thing. And no, some of these sort of American traditions are maybe a bit new, not part of, you know, Australian history, but there is sort of, you could say that there's a long precedent for this. And I also found that in Mexico, this group of days is celebrated as the Day of the Dead, but that's actually a public holiday in Mexico. So yeah. you get the day off to
dress
remember
up in
your
awesome
dead and
costume.
to play awesome music and dress up in awesome costumes.
And probably eat delicious food and have a nap.
And possibly food that may not be as bad for your teeth as what you get in the US Halloween.
Yes.
You're on Joy 94.9 and this is A Little Pot of Joy with Andrea and Alice. Next up from Hide and Seek, International Fisting Day.
Club 80's Zone Red recently celebrated its first anniversary and organiser Warwick Emanuel joins Dean to discuss the increasingly popular monthly event.
And by sheer coincidence, this conversation aired on International Fisting Day, which is the 21st of October, now in its fifth year, and the boys discuss that momentous day as well.
You can listen to the entire podcast by downloading it from the Joy website, joy.org.au/hideandseek, or download it from the iTunes store.
You're listening to A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
If you are at all interested in the ancient erotic art of fisting, tonight is your show, can I just tell you? We have a man here with us who is very keen on the subject. He also organises and runs for Club 80 the party called Zone Red. But to get us warmed up, I thought I would share with you a little conversation that I had with Scott Brennan, Toby and Adam, and they are, of course, Talkin' Puffy. They invited me onto an episode to talk about fisting. It was episode 83 of the Puffcast, and I thought it might get us going for tonight. So have a listen to this.
The real reason we've got you in here is because we're exploring our kinky sides.
Yes. Mm.
And you're the boss. You're the boss of weird shit.
Yeah.
Well,
you know it.
Although it's not weird to him, I guess.
I know. Look, we've covered this. I have sex through a hole in the sheet once a year, whether I need to or not.
Yes.
Just to keep my hand in. So it's confronting to me. I'm sure it's very normal
well,
for
can
a lot
I
of
just
other people.
Say, speaking of keeping your hand in. You have really lovely slender hands.
Oh no!
He's coming on to you!
No. We wanted to talk to you specifically. Now that you bring it up. Should have worn fucking mittens. We want to talk to you until you said that. We wanted to talk to you about fisting.
Fisting!
Yes. It's a thing, right?
It is a thing.
Well, it's my thing. Very
right.
much, yeah.
Shit.
Toby was recently, we discovered, shocked that there was such a thing as rimming.
Oh, dear.
Oh, wow. We've got a long way to go, Dean.
Yeah, so you got to start from first principles.
So fisting is something you're totally into. You love it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's my thing.
It's your thing.
Yeah.
At the top or at the bottom? Or all
both.
Kinds?
Both.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What do you mean at the top? What do you mean?
Well, being the fister or being the fister.
Oh, right.
You can be
okay.
a top or bottom
okay.
of fisting.
Right. Okay, sure.
Some people don't want to do the other one.
Yes.
All right, let's start with some basic beginner's questions. Mm-hmm. Right. What's the difference between just a vigorous finger and a fist?
A vigorous finger.
Well, Toby, a vigorous finger is a cocktail. And,
that was the Talking Puffy team. On episode 83, I've got another little grab to share with you. Warwick Emanuel joins us. Warwick, they're a funny crew, but happy International Fisting Day.
Thank you, Dean.
I had no idea.
Neither did I until this morning. But I've been celebrating all day.
I didn't know there was such a thing. I mean, it's great that there is, I guess. What are your thoughts?
Do we celebrate by...
I'm not sure. But happy International Fisting Day nonetheless. This is a practice that has been forced underground, I guess, to an extent because of censorship laws. Yet It is something that we celebrate and want to start talking about. Someone's written a blog post called The Five Fisting Tips for a Happy International Fisting Day. The first rule of fisting is do not talk about fisting. And that's part of the problem, isn't it?
Yes, people don't talk about it. Yeah, definitely.
And there's a lot of shame and stigma and all of that that's thrown into that space.
I think fetishes generally aren't spoken about.
Totally.
People see them as being strange and don't understand them, and so it's not really spoken about. And that's not just fisting. I think it's a lot of fetishes. Yeah. I think developing skills when you're learning about fisting, it's really important to be playing with people that you trust, but also people that are skilled. People who are skilled fisters can impart so much to somebody who's wanting to learn. Yeah. And I would think it would be unwise to be doing it any other way myself.
That passing on of knowledge is something that I was fortunate enough to have experienced. And I guess it's why I sort of fell into doing the seminars and workshops that I've done over the years. And we've got some very exciting news about those, which I'll share for you later. But that passing on of knowledge also empowered me as a sexual being, I guess. And it's driven me to do this show. And it's driven me to run the forums. And it's, you know, I think that there is a bit of that mental role that is played in this realm, perhaps more so than others. I mean, there is in some fetish communities, and we're seeing it become more and more so. But we've got to be respectful of the fact that we lost a generation and we lost a lot of information during that process.
Indeed, yeah. When I first started to want to learn about it, I started asking questions online, and I was really blown away by the support that people, that men offered me. I was really, really empowered, and I was quite blown away by how generous men were in helping me to learn.
I've got to say, in that online space, 10 years ago when I sort of started putting these workshops and things together, I found some of the information might be fine for the individual, and everyone's different, but there was other information that was just wrong, you know, in my opinion. Over the years, I've seen that evolve, and there's some absolutely fantastic info pages on websites that is, I guess, over the years contributed by multiple people to get quite a body of work that is really good info, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
There's got to be a bit selective about where you find it, but
there's some great stuff around.
There is, yeah.
And really, again, when you've done your research, when you've done some reading, what better way to progress than to actually speak with somebody about it?
And indeed, that, I find, is the most powerful thing, because when I went to the first workshop, it was delivered by two people who had done it, but it wasn't their thing, right? And I made a bit of a complaint at the end of it, and I said, it's clear that they've done it before, but it's quite clear also it's not their thing. And that information should be imparted by someone who is passionate about it because it is their thing. What are your thoughts?
Yes, definitely, definitely. You need to be passionate to be able to, I think, impart the really fine nuances of the art of fisting. I use the expression anyone can whack in a fist.
Yeah.
But that's not the same as being skilled, being in tune with the person that you're playing with.
Connected.
Having a connection. And in some way also being spiritually connected as well.
Now let's talk about that, because interestingly, the first book written for gay men about fisting was called Trust. That was the title of the book, and it touched quite extensively on the spiritual nature of fisting. When you say that to some people, they burst into laughing, but I describe it as the most sexual and erotic thing a man can do that is not involving genitals.
Sure.
And for men alone, that is a hard concept to grasp.
Yes, indeed. It is. I can talk about my experience of that spiritual stuff, where a partner and I are engaged in fisting and there's a lack of distinction between him and me. There's a kind of melding, if you like, and we're working together but as one. I've had kind of almost out-of-body experiences, not on drugs, just from the just from what was happening.
At oneness.
I tend to get it more if I'm topping than if I'm bottoming, and I don't know whether that's just me, but I can be taken somewhere quite amazing by the person that I'm playing with. They're giving me that. It's not that I'm taking it. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and the bottom has to want to give me that, and when it happens, it's really mind blowing.
You're on Joy 94.9, and this is a little pot of joy with Andrea Nellis. Up next, from Jackson, Greta, hens nights, stripper poles, and VPLs.
Greta talks the hens she attended on the weekend, and Jackie talks about being diddled. She's now further away from her free coffee.
There's also Jackie's realization that most elevators have mirrors. A great opportunity to correct the VPL. But elevators have cameras. Do people watch the video footage? Jackie also gives us an update on her neighbour's stripper pole.
And you can listen to the entire podcast by downloading it from the Joy website, joy.org.au/Jackson Greta, or download it for free from the iTunes store.
This is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
We're going to be starting now, baby.
Jackson Greta. On Joy.
Here on Joy with Jax and Greta. I'm so excited, Greta.
Well, there's so much to be excited about.
There's so much happening today.
Well, there's one very sexy, I think was the word she used to describe herself a few weeks ago. There's one very sexy thing happening in the studio this afternoon.
There is.
At Sad D.
The qualifier there is that if somebody uses it to describe themselves, I think you don't say that bit.
Sorry, I just, is it, yeah.
So it's not a yeah. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, I'm a bad person, I think is the conclusion.
But you're right, let's roll with it.
Yeah, let's roll with it.
It's a trio of ladies.
Is this the most amount of women that have ever been on radio at once? I shouldn't say that, but I did.
You're right. Okay, just,
more than in Parliament. Okay.
Speaking of women in large groups... You were at a hens party this weekend, G.
I was.
I'm sorry.
And I had a lot of fun. There were a few moments, though. The first one was when we walked in to a really lovely house in Hawthorne that had been decorated in sort of a morning tea, afternoon tea kind of way.
Sure.
Well, champagne and cupcakes and things, and you were quite feminine and quite what you're imagining a hens to be.
Yeah.
A lot like that.
A classy hens, it sounds
classy
like.
Hens. I'm going to correct myself. I thought it would be funny to see my mother drink out of a novelty straw, but there was none of that business at this hens. One thing that did confuse her was in the lounge room were those really beautiful metallic helium balloons with the letters MRS.
Mrs.
Yeah. My mum is such a feminist and so anti-weddings that she leaned over to me and went, "What's MRS?
Like, what does that stand for?
I am not kidding. I was like, "Mom, we're at a hens. It's Mrs."
She's amazing.
It's pretty inspiring. There was another moment where we were playing this little game where on one post-it note that was a certain colour, you had to write your celebrity crush. I was kind of like, do I want to out myself to all of these? Like, have I got that energy to, can I be bothered?
Yes.
I was like, I don't know. I went blank.
Did you not write anything?
I wrote Kanye West.
Oh, okay. No, that's all right.
And then,
now you've outed yourself as a Kanye West.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm very out about Kanye West. My Twitter account. Anyway. And then the other thing you were meant to write was like a moment that you'd had with the bride-to-be. And because I'm permanently 24/7 in the gutter, I was like, oh, she's such a nice, polite person. She's never done anything gross around me.
Yeah,
I thought
sure.
It was meant to be like a... You know, like, oh, remember that time you slept on my couch and you woke up at midday, whatever. So I got really nervous because I had nothing to say.
This is classic you.
So I folded the post-it note up in my pocket and, folded it up and put that particular post-it note into the pocket of this sort of like long fashion-y vest thing I was wearing over my dress. Yes, I wore a dress. And only handed in my celebrity crush.
Do they not question where the second post-it note was, Greta?
Well, I will tell you shortly.
Oh my goodness me.
What happened as a result of this?
And G, you failed at a hen's party, it sounds like.
So I didn't know what to write about the bride, a moment with the bride, because I thought the moment had to be a bit crass. Mm. So I folded up that colour-coded post-it note and hid it in the pocket of my, like, vest jacket thing. And it all seemed like the perfect plan. Then I decided, because I was feeling, you know, get involved and show that you're taking part, I decided to go around the room and collect all of the pens. Because there were probably about 20 to 30 women there. So I thought, you know, I'll collect all the pens back because, you know, they get spread around the house. You never find them again. So I'm going around.
So helpful, Greta.
Thanks. It's a rare quality that I very... Yeah, it doesn't happen often. So I'm going around collecting all the pens. And one of the young women who I've met before, she's very nice, you know, outgoing young woman. She says, oh, look at your pockets. They'd be the perfect size for the pens. And pulls one open and pulls open the one with the scrunched up. Oh, colour-coded no. Post-it note of shame.
They found you.
And I don't know if she saw it, but I felt this really intense sense of guilt. So then the game started. Oh, let's read out all everyone's, you know, memories of the bride. And they're all lovely things. Yeah. Doesn't she have a gorgeous smile? Which she does, don't get me wrong. Oh, I just loved that time we had breakfast together in the sun in St Kilda. Whatever. And I thought, okay, we'll read out five. They went through every single one, and it quickly became apparent that I hadn't contributed.
You couldn't think of anything nice about the bride, is what happened in the end.
I couldn't think about nice things. I couldn't think about mean things. I thought it was a mean-spirited game.
You're mean-spirited, Greta.
My friends are too mean-spirited, and they've programmed me to be a bad person. Anyway, I shouldn't say that. And so, yeah, I had to confess to the whole room.
That's it. Yeah, that's a lucky escape, though. If you had actually written, oh, I remember that time we... it's nothing like getting caught in your... What did you describe it as? Your long fashion vest pocket.
Yes,
that's nothing.
Anyway, so I was safe in the end. And Mum learnt what a missus is. So, you know, we all benefited.
Successful
from
weekend. Win-win. You'd say, wouldn't you?
Jackie, you were diddled.
I got diddled.
Congratulations.
Can you first of all tell us what the word diddled means? Because we thought it meant something very different.
Yeah, I came in and I told these two I got diddled and they were both like, you mean you got fiddled?
I thought I got...
You bloody perbs? No!
What happened? And we both did the hand action for it. And I think that I thought diddling meant touching funny.
No, diddle is... It's a verb. Past tense.
To diddle.
Past participle diddled. Cheat or swindle so as to deprive them of something. So I was diddled.
What have you been swindled of?
All right. You know me, Greta.
Well.
And I've just met you, Dee, but you know
right.
me.
But I get the idea.
You get the idea of my personality. Yeah. I like a bargain.
Yeah.
I like to find a good deal. I'm a deal hunter. And at my local cafe, of which the small coffees are now $4, like, what are we
We'll get to that bit later.
Yeah. They have a loyalty card.
No.
I think it's like 8 or 9 coffees, something obscene, that I have to get through to get one free coffee. But I'm holding on to that loyalty card, okay?
You like a bargain.
Yeah. And this morning I popped in to... I like a bargain, yeah. This morning I popped in to buy a coffee for myself and for my partner to take back home and gave them my loyalty card, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just stamped the one coffee, not the two.
Yeah, you've been diddled.
I was diddled, wasn't
you've
I?
You've been royally diddled.
I've been seriously diddled.
Good bit of diddlage.
But you can't, I feel like when it's something, like it's, when it's a deal or a bargain, you can't be like, excuse me, can you stamp another coffee?
No, you've got a contract with that cafe. When you took the loyalty card, you signed a contract saying, I will pay for 9 of these things if you give me one for free.
But by the time I will have paid for 10 at this point.
Yeah.
You've paid for your free coffee.
And $10 FPOS minimum. So really, I've paid for 11 by the time I get my free coffee.
Mm.
Huh.
Mm, diddled.
So what now?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I can't do anything.
Did you arc up at the time?
No, I'm far too polite, Dave.
Because, dear, you were saying your local cafe, you can diddle them.
Well, that's it. When you told me you've been diddled, I felt a little flush of embarrassment because I thought, oh, I've diddled.
You're a diddler.
I've diddled back. So I feel like on the flip side of your coin.
How did you diddle?
Well, my cafe has the same situation in that you know.
Loyalty.
Yeah, loyalty, stupid card. I'm not that loyal, but, you know, loyalty card. But they're silly enough to have a regular size hole punch hole. So you can basically just clip off 9 and walk back in, straight turn around, walk back in with your loyalty card or clipped out. So you've got to really walk that fine line between being honest and getting your free shit.
Well, yeah, you're not going in every day with your...
We can't.
With a fresh, but I will, freshly cut, you know, loyalty card.
Everybody's got...
Freshly punched.
Yeah.
I just like to say I'm all about full price and I don't like freebies, and we could have a whole episode about that.
You're not all as fancy as you are, we Greta.
I'm sorry.
I have an update.
Well, look, you've all heard the stripper pole story, I'm sure, but just in case not, Jackie's next-door neighbour has a rather exposed lounge room.
Mm-hmm.
She has to walk past it to get to her own house.
Correct.
They have a stripper pole.
They have recently installed what can only be a stripper pole in their lounge room, and it's a very small lounge room, Greta.
It is. You have a lovely place, but I wouldn't call it giant.
No, not at all.
You're not living in Versailles.
No. So this is not... It's kind of an update, but more of just a further... Further explanation of their character.
Go on.
So, well, first update today. Today, this is a fresh update. We walked past after getting a coffee in the morning where I was diddled. Walked up our driveway and had to go past. And at the corner of our eye, we try not to look in because it's quite rude.
Well, you know what's in there now, and that makes you almost want to not and look more. Like, yes. It's that confusing.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. But we sensed movement, and we kind of both, my partner and I, glanced in. And the couple there, both standing next to the stripper pole. She had her hands on the stripper pole and was explaining a move to him. And then he nodded, and then we kept walking. We couldn't see the rest.
Okay, I don't...
This was at 11 a.m. I mean, not that there should be, like, specific times for stripping in one's lounge room. They can do whatever they want.
I went to the strippers once after a box, when in Rome.
Yes.
And some of the strippers... Not all of them are athletic. That's a bit of a myth. Some of them are just spinning around on the pole on the ground. You know, you or I could do it. But some of them are really, like, they're athletes, right? But no one was doing partner work.
No.
People were doing matching routines, but I don't recall any sort of... So was she maybe teaching him a trick?
I think she was teaching him how to use the pole. Wait, that didn't sound right. Honestly, it really thrilled us, though, and then we were like, we really, like, if we walked past, like, 3 seconds later, we might have seen some stripping action.
Oh, of course. Right? Your timing was off.
Timing was way off.
I've had a plan. I've got a plan.
Go on.
Your cat, Manu, whose medical bills each year cost more than the initial price it was to buy her. Yeah. Remember that episode?
Yes, of course.
Manu is an indoor cat. Not anymore. Manu becomes an outdoor cat and we get inserted into her fur a tiny camera.
This is the worst idea.
Is
it? Worst.
Do you think?
Yeah, good luck sticking a camera onto my stupid cat.
I watch way too many Hollywood films.
I'm just going to walk past more frequently, I think.
Oh, yeah, there's that as well.
Well...
All right.
That's it for another week.
Stripper update until next week.
Until
We're on the edge of our poles.
I don't really know how to phrase this, Greta. You know how most elevators have mirrors in them?
I honestly have no idea where this is going.
You do understand, yeah.
Absolutely. That's my... You know when you have, like, a job interview or something important, you get into an elevator with a mirror and you breathe a sigh of relief because you can look at yourself
That's
with a...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right? I find myself, like today I caught the lift up from the bottom floor to the ninth floor here at Joy, and there's mirrors in that lift, and I'm wearing my my active wear, so I'm wearing leggings today, and I noticed some VPL.
Oh.
Visible panty line, right?
Right.
And so I corrected the VPL, hands down pants, pulled it around a bit, looking in the mirror. Then it dawned on me, people must, like, watch back elevator footage at some point, right?
Well, I think it's you only watch back on it if you think
something's happened,
i.e. Beyonce, Solange and Jay-Z have gotten
great
into your
example.
Elevator.
Great example.
But otherwise, because I have this moment as well where I often get in an elevator for a job I have and I like to sometimes I'll tap dance or look at myself or I like to look at the ceiling.
I frequently do weird things in the elevator.
So we're either A, entertaining someone out there or B, it just goes into the abyss.
And then what I found is that there's two elevators here at Joy.
One of them's all blocked up.
One of them doesn't have mirrors and I get disappointed when that one dings downstairs and I can't fix my VPL.
Well, yeah. What? We need to, let's, you know what? You need a bigger mirror in your purse.
I need a full-length mirror.
Yes!
You're listening to Joy.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is a little pot of joy with Alice and Andrea. Up next, LA Spins. Adele's back.
This is your Hollywood goss fix for another week, thanks to Peter Reynolds, coming to you from Los Angeles.
Adele addresses her legion of fans via Facebook and says that while her massively popular album, 21, was a breakup record, the upcoming 25 will be a makeup record, plus 100 other Hollywood things that are happening right now.
And you can download the entire podcast from the Joy website, joy.org.au/LA Spins, or the iTunes Store.
This is A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program.
Adele addressed her legions of fans via Facebook and said that while her massively popular album 21 was a breakup record, the upcoming 25 will be a makeup record. The singer said, quote, "I'm making up with myself, making up for lost time, making up for everything I ever did and never did. But I haven't got time to hold on to the crumbs of my past like I used to. What's done is done," unquote. Her new album, 25, drops November 20th. So guess who were the top two dead money-making artists of 2015? Well, if you picked Michael Jackson at the top, you'd be right. Michael has earned nine figures every year since his death 9 years ago. His total take? $115 million. The money came from the permanent Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show in Las Vegas, his music sales, and his 50% ownership of the Sony Music catalog. Elvis came in second with a pretty big hunk of cash, $55 million. It's good to be dead. Actor Tom Cruise has put his Colorado mountain retreat up for sale. The 10,000-square-foot mansion has 7 bedrooms and 9 bathrooms and is surrounded by a protected national forest. That means you never wake up to the sound of bulldozers and cement mixers. The asking price? A cool $59 million. Yeah, that pretty much sounds like Mission Impossible to me, too. The classic Rocky Horror Picture Show will be remade into a TV movie for Fox. Now, don't get your pantyhose all twisted up into a knot. We know it's going to be a tough job to remake the cult favorite, but they've cast Laverne Cox of Orange is the New Black to play Dr. Frankenfurter, and that's a great start. Oh, sure, it's going to be tough to fill the big high heels of the great Tim Curry, who originated the role in 1975, but if anyone can, Laverne can. The 2-hour special will air on Fox in the fall of 2016. The Grammy nominations will be announced on December 7th, and word has it that producer Max Martin will be a big nominee. It's now likely that he'll have 2 Song of the Year nominations for co-writing Taylor Swift's Blank Space and The Weeknd's Can't Feel My Face. That would make the Swedish hitmaker the first songwriter to land 2 Song of the Year nominations in the same year since 1994 when Elton John and Tim Rice scored with 2 songs from The Lion King. Martin has received 3 Song of the Year noms in the past for co-writing the Backstreet Boys' I Wanted That Way, Katy Perry's Roar, and Swift's Shake It Off. Martin won Producer of the Year Non-Classical at the Grammys in February. Martin has been so prolific over the past decade that now, if your song is either written or produced by Max Martin, you're almost guaranteed a hit. That is one talented Swede for sure. After previous French and Australian Disney song compilations became big hits, Universal Music here has decided to put together a U.S. collection of some of the biggest artists singing their favorite Disney tunes. Artists like Gwen Stefani, Jesse J, Ariana Grande, and Fall Out Boy all recorded their favorite songs, and we'll see if the We Love Disney collection connects with American consumers as well. The album was produced by multi-Grammy-winning producer David Foster and is being released this week. Iconic rap producer and member of NWA, Dr. Dre, has said that he wants to tour Europe with a full stage production and perform there along with fellow rappers Snoop Dogg, Eminem, and new rap star Kendrick Lamar. Dre said, quote, "This is one of the things that I've dreamed about doing. I want to call it Beats and Rhymes. Take our full stage over there and show Europe the same amount of love that they've been showing me throughout my entire career. So that's my dream. Hopefully we can make that happen," unquote. That would be one hell of a tour. We'll keep you posted. It's official. Former Celebrity Apprentice host and billionaire Donald Trump is returning to NBC television with a hosting gig on Saturday Night Live on November 7th. This will be the Republican presidential hopeful's second stint on the late-night sketch show. He previously hosted SNL on April 3rd, 2004. So who will the musical guest be that night? The comb-over? Friends, family, and former colleagues of Apple founder Steve Jobs have said that the big screen portrayal of him is not factual and that the portrait overall is basically nothing more than a caricature. For example, Apple design chief Jonathan Ive characterized the depiction as a virtual act of posthumous character assassination. Quote, "There are sons and daughters and widows and very close friends who are completely bemused and completely upset. I don't recognize this person at all. I'm sorry to sound a bit grumpy about it, but I just find it ever so sad," unquote. Well, in reality, many of these people, including Ive, that are speaking to the press, haven't actually seen the film. Steve Jobs expands to 2,000 theaters in the U.S. this week. So we've told you recently about Whitney Houston, the hologram tour in 2016. Well, now two famous comedians are going to get the same treatment. Red Fox, the salty-tongued comedian that was a big star in the 1970s, starring in the iconic series Sanford and Son, will be getting his own hologram. Also, eccentric, brilliant comedian Andy Kaufman will also be a hologram. Kaufman was one of the stars of another hit comedy series in the 70s, Taxi, and was known for outlandish appearances on television and having an alter ego character, Tony Clifton, that was hated by most. And to be honest, no one really knew most of the time whether Andy was being comedic or serious, which added to his mystique. Oh, and you know what? There are more of these holograms coming. It's good to be a hologram.
The Trash Bin.
Coming out of a restaurant in Beverly Hills with a gal pal, actress Jennifer Aniston responded sweetly when two very flamboyant men came up to her and gushed their congrats on her recent wedding to, quote, "that handsome Justin Theroux." She even agreed when the two fellas begged for a quick pic, but heaven went to hell quickly. One witness said one of the guys, quote, "got way too up close, grabbing her hand to micro-eyeball her wedding ring." Jen freaked, shrieking, "back off!" The guy split quick, mumbling apologies. Jen, boiling, bitched on about people not respecting private boundaries, unquote. Such nerve. Well, I guess when you're Jennifer Aniston, many people want to be, you know, friends.
The news wrap-up.
Apple Music has announced that it already has 6.5 million paid subscribers in less than 4 months. YouTube has launched YouTube Red, a long-anticipated subscription service that will cost $10 a month for the same videos, but ad-free. Tesla owners are saying that the new autopilot feature is accidentally steering them off highways. Snapchat lost its chief of communications to Uber. Jill Hazelbaker was with Snapchat for slightly longer than a year.
And now, this week's number ones.
The number one movie.
In the weakest weekend of the year at the box office, The Martian with Matt Damon held on to the top spot.
The number one album.
Pentatonix, the five-member a cappella group from Arlington, Texas, enters the charts at number one.
The number one app.
Minecraft Story Mode is the best-selling app in the USA.
The number one fiction book.
Rogue Lawyer, the new novel by best-selling author John Grisham, is the most popular book this week.
Gwen Stefani has been in the pop spotlight since her band No Doubt burst on the scene right here 20 years ago. Since then, she's also had a very successful solo career and become a fashion designer with a successful line of clothing. Her marriage to Bush frontman Gavin Rossdale in 2002 produced three kids, and they deliberately kept their marriage out of the spotlight, preferring to raise their family out of the glare of the media. Sadly, they filed for divorce 2 months ago, citing irreconcilable differences. Here's Gwen Stefani with her brand new track, and it's the song of the week, Used to Love You. That was Gwen Stefani with the song of the week, Used to Love You. And that's what's happening this week in LA and Hollywood.
You've been listening to A Little Pot of Joy on Joy 94.9 with Alice and Andrea. Another lovely night, I think, Andrea.
I'm lost for words.
You're lost for words. Well, there we go. This amazing show full of incredibly diverse and interesting podcasts has left Andrea lost for words. And make sure you go back and listen to the full podcast from the website joy.org.au or download them for free from the iTunes store.
You've been listening to A Little Pot of Joy, the podcast program. See joy.org.au and click on our podcast link to subscribe to your favourite podcasts free.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.